In our final story, we investigate the Stanford connection to the urban farming movement and how Stanford grapefruits ended up at the Free Farm Stand in the Mission. Coming up, Charlie Mintz walks around campus with the founders of Stanford Glean, a student association dedicated to reclaiming Stanford's bounty and sharing it with others. Along the way, he discovers where miner's lettuce grows on campus and why persimmons matter.
We call Stanford the farm, but we don't really mean that. The nickname's a holdover from a time when rangers on horseback roamed the land, and instead of high-tech, eco-friendly buildings, there were trees. Stanford's not a food-producing living space anymore, of course. Instead, it is a Spanish colonial set piece designed to produce graduates and other types of food consumers. It's true, there is a garden, but really the only thing meant to be cultivated here is the mind. And yet, if we look closely, if we take a second look at what's around us, we see that edible fruits and vegetables of all kinds are growing within arm's reach, offering their bounty to the savvy gleaner.
Fun fact, we've identified approximately 140 fruit trees, gleanable fruit trees, and that's a fraction of what's available on Stanford's campus.
I'm Caitlin Brown. I'm a sophomore public policy major with an environmental focus, and I am one of the co-founders and co-president of the Stanford Gleaning Project.
I'm Susanna Poland. I'm a sophomore. Gleaning is harvesting excess fruit from our landscape, officially or unofficially.
Otherwise, the fruit just goes to waste, and there is no reason for that to happen.
Ironically, we live in a highly productive, highly fertile area, and yet there are many, many hungry people in the Bay Area. Stanford plants fruit trees and a lot of other edible vegetation for aesthetic purposes, and our aim is to harvest that and use that as the food source that it is, recognize it as a food source, and distribute it according to need. What we've done is combined several resources. There was an existing botany map that mapped out edible plant species around campus, and we also ran our own surveying project last spring with members of Paige Chamberlain's class called Carbon Cycle, Reducing Your Impact. And so combining those two sources, we've plotted out visually what plant species we have and their distribution. To give an idea of the diversity, we have mapped soap aloe, pistachio, cherry, lemon, bunya bunya, persimmon, loquat, apricot, pear, pomegranates, olive trees, peach trees, avocado trees, carob, kumquat, miner's lettuce, which grows all around campus, especially around Lake Log, elderberry, mint, lavender, prickly pear, black walnut, Buddha's hand, the citrus, grapefruit, tangerine, lime, strawberry trees, and also fresh figs.
I grew up in Houston, Texas, and there's something called loquats, which don't look particularly edible, but they are. We have several loquat trees around campus. We might go by one in the main quad, and our two professors didn't want to try it at all. We were picking the loquats, and they're like, are you sure you can eat that? I don't think you can eat that. Right? You should be careful. I'm like, no, it's you can eat it. And I think that's what we've gotten a lot. People walk up to us when we're gleaning by the history corner and say, oh, you can eat those oranges? So I think that's one of the funniest things that's happened, that people really don't understand that. I guess in theory they understand that fruit comes from trees, but it wouldn't occur to them to actually pick the fruit.
So let's go to a place. Let's go to the quad.
We're behind the language quarter, near a cluster of three or four loquat trees, which are not currently in season, but when they are in season, they sprout clusters of six or eight yellow fruits that are a little bit tart and turn quite sweet when they're ripe, and about the size of, I don't know,
a ping pong ball.
A ping pong ball.
What we have is called a gleaner, a picker, and it looks kind of like a lacrosse stick, and it has kind of these little fingers that you can use to, perfect, grab the fruit, just as Susanna demonstrated.
She's got a little bundle. So these are edible?
Yep. Mm-hmm. You can pop the whole thing in if you'd like.
Chew the skin and all?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Go for it. Mm. Tart?
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't eat the skin, I think.
Oh, really? I eat the skin.
So on an average day, you'll just like take every kumquat you can get down?
We try to take only the ripest third.
Yeah, and we also try to take fruit that couldn't be picked by hand. So if there's low-hanging fruit that people, students or workers at Stanford can pick, then they should have access to it.
What's your favorite fruit that you've gleaned?
I personally like picking persimmons a lot just because it's very rewarding. You get lots of them. They're heavy. They look like they make a difference.
Upon hearing this, I wondered what it meant for a fruit to make a difference. So I asked Susanna and Caitlin why gleaning on the farm matters.
As a class, we mapped and started gleaning. And it's grown into a much larger organization. We have two plots in the community farm. We glean weekly and take usually around 60 pounds of fruit up into San Francisco to the Julian Food Pantry. It's in the Mission. Half our produce goes there, and the other half goes to Tree's Free Farm Stand. I am going to show you a picture of persimmons for sale. They were $1.99 each. And these are the kind of persimmons we pick on our campus. This was for sale at Andronico's in the Stanford Shopping Center. So this is fruit, especially the persimmons, are fruit that the needy people would not normally get. And it's kind of a change of pace for them.
It's also a food source that doesn't need to be refrigerated. It comes in its own natural packaging, just a skin that can be put easily in your pocket. And nutritionally, they're very, very important. So that homeless people who have access to good dental care, often can't cook harder foods and have difficulty chewing them, which is an issue that I didn't really think about when starting this project, but something that was called to my attention by Paige Chamberlain, who works in an urban farm. He meets a lot of people who quite literally cannot process some of the other foods that are available. So fruits become important for nutritional value.
I personally have taken fruit into the city, and it really does make a difference. Even though the food bank is providing this Julian Food Pantry, we're also providing just a little extra. And it's food that would otherwise go to waste, which is not okay.
Charlie Mintz is the editor-in-chief for the Stanford Storytelling Project. And since this was recorded last winter, Susanna picked her major. It is anthropology, social and cultural track, with a focus on African art. She teaches a class with Paige Chamberlain in the spring. Food and Community, Visions for a Sustainable Future. The URL for the gleaned map can be found online at storytelling.stanford.edu.